That same extra heat energy, of course, as you know, also pulls the moisture out of the first many centimeters of the soil and results in longer and deeper and persistent droughts like the one that affects 97% of the state of California in my country, the Korean Peninsula, much of southern Africa, all right now. And there are other places around the world.
In this Climate Gen episode, I'm speaking with Marco Simonetti, an engineer and director of an innovative water sourcing company called AquaSeek, based at the Turin Polytechnic in northern Italy. Marco and his colleagues have been developing a natural polymer derived from algae that draws water from moisture in the air. I asked Marco if it can play a role in the growing, desperate search for new sources of water as we move forward into a drier world. I'll be discussing more innovations and challenges on the subject of water shortages as a near-term threat in forthcoming episodes. Hey Marco, okay. It's good to see you.
Good to see you too.
I want to ask you about the technology that you're developing, AquaSeek. Can you tell us a little bit about how the technology works? What makes it different from other water harvesting technology?
Oh, yes, sure. Well, AquaSeek technology is based on absorptive material. That is a material that is capable of absorbing vapor directly from air. And like a sponge, it is like taking it from air. And then, like when a sponge is full of water, our material is full of this vapor capture. To release it and to have it available for condensation, we have to heat up the materials. So basically, our technology is based on an intermittent process where we take water from air, leveraging this material, and then we heat it up and make a closed loop of a condensation of the water. This type of technology is very effective at very low humidity, while other systems that are on market are not. Like you can use a chiller, for example, a heat pump machine, and the chiller would cool down the air at in some situation where the air is quite humid. While you are cooling down the air, you will have condensation of water. But when the air is very dry, like in some dry area of the desert or something like that, when you cool down, you can reach temperature lower than 0 degrees before you have some condensation. At that point, you are icing the machine and the machine won't work longer. So the first advantage is that sorption-based machine can work at very, very low humidity. We demonstrated it in a Texas desert and at a temperature that is -7 condensation temperature that corresponds to 10% humidity at 30 degrees centigrade. So very, very dry air. And the second advantage of the system is that it is very efficient and can be driven by low heat, low temperature heat, like wasted heat from any power generation system or any engines, or can be driven by, for low temperature, I mean 60 degrees, 50 to 60 degrees, and that is also a temperature that is easy to achieve with a solar thermal system, simple solar thermal system, or with a heat pump. And the heat pump can be driven by electricity that you can generate by photovoltaics. In this type of technology, the absorption, we developed two patents. And by leveraging these two patents, we are the best of the absorption technology to our knowledge.
You've talked about scenarios in terms of temperature, desert. One of the things we're seeing at the moment is vast reductions of groundwater across Europe. And this is obviously is going on in the rest of the world too. Is there an application for this for replacing sources of water that we might use for irrigation, for example?
Physically, yes. Like atmosphere on a global level contains more than 6 times the water that is contained in all the rivers we use and we rely on for fresh water. So physically speaking, it is possible even to substitute fully the water we normally use for any activities, and there will be like automatic and sustainable balance of atmosphere. But anyhow, we are not looking for that. We are looking for having available an alternative source when there are issues. So the full landscape will be a combination of technology like any other topics. But yes, it will be possible. But the thing is that condensating water from air comes at a cost. So we need to use energy to condensate. We can use wasted heat, in that case, the energy will be for free, but there will be the need of available wasted heat somewhere. Or we can use renewable energy, and so we'll have no emission, but we will need an investment cost for it. Okay. So the point of this is on economic level. So technically speaking, it's possible. To which extent depends on economic discussion and development on the industry, I think.
Okay, so from the economic side then, if you're talking energy is one cost, what about the actual material itself and how durable is it? I mean, do you have to change it regularly? Does it last for a long time?
What we do know, as we started to use this material like 3 years ago, and we start using it cycling, what we do know, even we are also making artificial aging process, so more cycling than they actually needed. We do know that it should last some years. So the materials we are using is based on a natural polymer, and that is the alginate, sodium alginate that comes from algae. So it's fully natural and even food grade material. So it has been used like making candies or the like. So it's super safe and actually is super available at a really low cost. So we foreseen that the main components, the exchanger and the absorber materials, would last at least 3 years. And even if we would need to replace each 3 years in order to have it set original operational capability, this would be a very low cost, because it's very common chemicals. The news is then the way we built up, basing on simple chemicals, the way we built up to the materials, the polymer, in order to have the better exchange with the water.
And if we talk about in terms of the actual product, the water that's produced, what sort of quality are we looking at? What have your test results shown you so far?
Well, the water is basically like distilled water. So it's a really low mineral quality. It even can be seen as pure H2O, pure water. The interesting thing is that in this process we are using, nothing is captured from the rest of the atmosphere. We made analysis, we made tests at the certified laboratory in Torino at SMAT, the local utility of water, which also sent water on the space station, just to say it's a very qualified laboratory. So this laboratory searched for a wide range of elements that can be in the air, some dangerous materials, etc. More than 1,000, actually, they checked 1,000 of components, and we didn't find anything in water but water. Something actually is depending on the cycle. So if you're using some plastic in the machine, you might find some plastic in the water. And actually, that was, to be totally sincere, what actually was there, something that we put there, but nothing from the atmosphere. That's very interesting. So it's a super selective process. And the water is pure water, no acid level in it. And that's a very good starting point if you want to make a very specific irrigation mixture for your water. You start from zero and you add whatever you need to add to the water for your irrigation process.
You know, I have a natural bias towards wine. So if I was talking to a wine producer in a water-stressed area, the first thing they're going to say is, yeah, but how scalable is this thing? What does it look like? How big is it? Is it a great big truck that I need to park on my field? How can it scale? Is it really feasible?
The core system that is like this exchanger, it's totally scalable. So you can make it like a small radiator, like the one you have in your chiller, it's like that, or large as a radiator of a truck, or a larger, you put 100 of this truck radiators, you got the biggest radiator you can imagine for a big plant. But just to give an idea of the size, it's like if you think about a 1,000 liter per day machine, this can be like 3 meters times one times 1.5. So it's roughly it's 3 cubic meters, like to say, a machine to have 1,000 liter per day machine. This machine will need to be supplied with energy. So that's where maybe some additional spaces are needed. So depending on the source you are considering, there will be another need. So if you're thinking about photovoltaics, because we can drive the system with electricity and you can do it with photovoltaics, for a machine of 1,000 liter per day, the energy needed would be in the range of a few hundred meters of photovoltaics, like 200 to 300 meters of photovoltaics.
Can you give an overview of some field experiments or case studies that you've done so far and what you've learned from them?
Yeah. Yes. Well, let me say that we are a very young company. So we are a startup and we incorporated in July 21. So our current development is of laboratory machines and experimental machine. Anyhow, we in the last summer in 2022, we delivered three small machines of capacity around 1 liter per day. So very small prototypes that we employed especially to test the process and then to analyze the water and to test the concept. And we delivered this in Pantelleria to a local winery that collaborated with us and was very interested in having some available alternative water source, because you might know in Pantelleria that is a volcanic island, there's no spring water available, and the water from desalination is not allowed to be used for agriculture. And also the winemaker would not have used it anyhow, because he would say it's a bit acid and it's kind of ruin my plant. So he was looking for pure water with no acidity inside and no additional stuff. And so we made this exercise, and actually our machine generated some tens of liters of water in Pantelleria, remotely controlled, and the winemaker used this water mixed with other rain water he was collecting to make this experiment on the wine. And actually we don't know yet what has the results has been on the quality of the wine, but we had this water available. I think it's an interesting experience that we would like to scale up.
Okay, so you had a proof of concept. And the another use that you've talked about is humanitarian, and there are water stress areas. Is this a technology that you think is useful in those scenarios?
Yeah, I totally think so. Like, you know that water availability in some scenario means the difference for a child to survive, for a newborn to survive 1, 2, or 3 days after he just came to the world. So we already had in the past contact with some ONG to work, NGO, sorry, I was Italian, the NGO to work in South Sudan, the place of the world with the highest newborn mortality rate, because they don't have water when they are delivering. They don't have water, and so there is so high mortality rate. But also we are planning to collaborate with the World Food Program, and they have, like in Italy, in Brindisi, they have a huge logistical base, and we have an agreement between the Politecnico di Torino, where our research comes from, and actually comes also from Princeton University. We are a joint effort between two research centers. But we have an agreement with Politecnico and this facility to develop technology that can be delivered to any UN agency in the world. And the plan is to, we already had some discussions, to receive from them suggestions and specifications for the machine that actually can be useful, like how will it be delivered, like with a helicopter or trucks, what are the sizing and how many liters per day, and what are the issues with using a similar system in a humanitarian like emergency camp and etc. So actually we are looking after this a lot.
Okay, that sounds fascinating. And on a little bit of a timeline, what are your milestones going forward from today?
Yes. Well, we are actually closing a second round of raising funds. And this second round foreseen a program of industrialization of products that will end by the end of 2024. So in this 2023 and 24, we will make some demos of large and small machines to qualify the technology and to have feedback from some users. So this demos project will be also very important to optimize the product that will be eventually industrialized by the end of 2024. And so the plan now is to have in 2025 to have the first selling.
It sounds really exciting. I hope we start seeing these kits deployed to plug the water crisis that we're sort of sailing into at the moment. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for having me.